Good morning. As I said during the prayer time, Easter is one of those celebrations that is full of all sorts of emotion. I can imagine Mary that morning as she approached the tomb, as she went to something that she thought was going to be somewhat normal, despite the abnormal week that she had experienced, where she had watched her friend suffer and die on a cross. We've all experienced death in our lives. Someone we love, someone close to us, has tragically passed away. Sometimes it was expected. They had been suffering for a long time. Other times, it was a frantic phone call, and we learned in simply a moment that someone we loved was gone. But there's one part of these stories that is often familiar. It's that after the tragedy, after the heartbreak, we can come to a place and we can mourn. Often, that's at a graveside, and we come and we give thanks to God for this life that we have been so blessed to be a part of and with. And that's what Mary was doing. She was going to mourn. The craziness of the week had stopped, and I think she just wanted to take a breath and be present with her Savior. Be present with her friend, and then her world just gets turned upside down. So she looks in the tomb, and the stone had been rolled away, and it was empty. She went in mourning, and then it was frantic fear. When I was a kid, one of my favorite shows to watch, which I'm often reminded of on Easter, is Are You Afraid of the Dark? Anyone watch that on Nickelodeon? Some of you? No, not very many of you. Anyone heard of it? Tell me I'm not alone here. Okay. And so these kids would sit around a campfire, and they would start to tell a story. A horror story of sorts. And the question was, are you afraid of the dark? What is it that you fear? And so there would be these terrible, crazy stories that as a small child really horrified me, right? Now, as an adult, if you go back and watch it, they're really not all that scary. But the premise of the show was that at these dark moments, fear was at the center. And I think that that's true of our gospel reading this morning. As we come to John 20, we are nearing the end of John. And the gospel writer tells us this. It says, early on the first day of the week, meaning Sunday, right? Because the first day of the week was the day after Sabbath day. Sabbath day would have been on Saturday. So early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed. It says it was still dark out. It was one of those moments, you know, when you come outside and the sun is just starting to peak. It's almost like you're in a fog or a haze. The sky is almost gray. Because darkness is there, but light is trying to come in. And this is Mary's mourning. She is in darkness. She is in despair. But light is starting to emerge. She's about to experience and understand the fullness of resurrection. I think it's interesting, if you read the various Gospels, I would encourage you to do that this week. Read all four accounts of the resurrection story, because they're all a little bit different. What's interesting about John's version is there's only one woman who approaches the tomb that morning. It's just Mary. She is the only one. And as she comes to the tomb, this is what she sees, and then it says she ran. She was frantic, full of fear and unknowing what is going on. And it says she goes to Simon Peter and to another disciple, the beloved disciple, the one whom Jesus loves. And it says, they have taken our Lord out of the tomb, she says, and I don't know where they have laid him. So her first instinct is that someone has taken the body, which would make total and complete sense, right? The people around did not like Jesus. That's pretty clear, right? They kind of killed him. They crucified him. He was sentenced to death. I doubt they cared too much about his final resting place. We hear earlier in the story that when Jesus was taken down from the cross, Joseph had gone to collect the body, and they just kind of haphazardly gave it over to him. And then there was a tomb in the area. They didn't even have a place to lay him because they weren't prepared for this death that he was about to experience. And so it says they found this tomb that no one had ever been laid in, and that's where they laid him to rest. And so it would make sense that the leaders of the time would have said, he doesn't deserve this resting place. We're just going to take his body. We're going to dump it somewhere else. We're not going to let him lay here. So that's what Mary assumed, that Jesus' body had been taken. This story almost has two parts. We have this part where she goes and she tells Simon Peter and the other disciple what had happened. And it tells us this, that when she told them, it says, Peter and the other disciples set out and they went to the tomb. They were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first, and he bent down and he looked in and he saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, followed him, and he went into the tomb and he saw what had happened. I was reading in a commentary that it said these two men, well, not really men, more like boys, because of how comical this seems. Scene almost sounds. You have these two grown men, and they take off in a race to see who gets there first. They're like, no, me, let's push each other out of the way. You've seen small children act like that, right? Trying to get to the scene first. I can imagine Jesus, who's looks like the gardener, standing off to the side, being like, oh, geez, these guys... These guys still don't get it. I've been teaching them forever and over and over and over again. They just do the wrong thing. If we go back to the crucifixion story, we hear that they're all sitting around in an upper room, right? Monday, Thursday. Monday meaning a new command I give to you. And they're sitting in that upper room, and Jesus tells them about his death, right? And they start to argue about who's going to be in charge after that happens. And then Jesus says, somebody's going to betray me. And they're like, is it me? Everything's always about them, right? Over and over and over again. It's about them. And so as they come to this tomb, they're like, I'm going to get there first. No, I am. And they trip the other one, right? They start running towards this tomb. They still just don't get it. And then we have Mary. Mary who comes in grief and pain. This is like the second part of the story. And it says, but Mary. She stands outside and she's just weeping. As she wept, she bent over to look in the tomb, and she gets the miraculous sight, right? It says two angels in white are sitting where the body of Jesus had been laying, one at the head and the other at the feet. And they said, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around, and Jesus was standing there. And Jesus said again, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" She thought he was a gardener. She said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, please tell me. Please just tell me where he is, and I will take him away. Just let me have him. Let me have this one piece." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned and she knew. All it took was for Jesus to say her name. And she said, "Teacher." And he said, "Don't hold on to me because I have not yet ascended. Go and tell my brothers. Go and tell these boys who still don't get it. Go tell them what I have said to you." I imagine Mary. And in this story, if you read it, no pun intended, but there are so many little Easter eggs that pop up, right? So many little nuggets of things that we could just grab onto. And I imagine Mary in her despair. First, she has no alternative intent. She just cares about Jesus. And so it is to her that the angels appear, right? We also learn that it is in her grief that she turns and Jesus is there. I think this is true for us too. In our deepest, darkest moments of pain, Jesus is there with us. This isn't a new message, right? This is the message we hear all throughout the Gospels, all throughout the Hebrew Bible and the New Testament, that God is with us. From the very beginning when Jesus was born, we call him what? Emmanuel. Emmanuel, God with us. And so in Mary's pain and despair, Jesus is there. Jesus is right beside her, saying, "Why are you crying? I am here with you." This has been a really rough week if you've watched the news at all. Just from sheer disasters that have been occurring around us. First, we had the fire at Notre Dame, right? This beautiful cathedral full of art and relic. An epicenter, almost, to who we are as Christians. The crown of thorns that Jesus wore, right, was there. And it caught fire. Reminding us that things of man will not always stand, right? But God will. Even when Jesus, God incarnate, dies on a cross, we hear on Easter morning that not even death, not fire, not despair, not flood, not death will stop Jesus. Because Jesus is the power of resurrection. And then this morning, as Jim noted, I woke up and I had notifications coming across my phone that talked about the extreme violence that happened in Sri Lanka today. That churches and hospitals were attacked, that over 200 were dead, and 400 or more injured. The New York Times, the headline this morning said, "There was a river of blood." The world sucks sometimes. It is really hard. There is pain and agony. It often feels like the dark morning hours. But we are an Easter people. That in the midst of sadness and despair and darkness, we believe that there is something greater. And so I hope this morning that no matter what you are enduring, no matter how terrible sometimes things may seem, that you know that you have Jesus there. Whether you recognize him or not, Jesus is there saying, "My son, my daughter, why are you weeping? I am here and I am with you." Amen. He is risen. Amen. Let's pray. God, on this Easter morning, I give you thanks. I give you thanks for the messiness of this story. For God, this is not how we anticipated that you would save the world. This is not what we expected. But God, this was your chosen plan. God, you came to us in the form of a helpless baby in a lowly manger. There was no room for you, and yet God made room for you in our lives. And God, you walked among us and you taught us. You taught us things that made us uncomfortable, that make us step back, that make us reevaluate who we are and where our allegiance truly lies. And then, oh God, Paul reminds us in Romans that because you loved us, you died for us while we were yet sinners. Oh God, you did not wait for us to become perfect. You did not wait for us to repent. You did not wait for us. God, you acted. You acted on our behalf, and for that we are so grateful. And then God, just when we thought the story was over, you rolled that stone away. You rose again. God, move us out of our despair into light. We pray for the coming of the dawn and for the power of resurrection. God, we love you and we praise you in the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen.